Good morning, everyone. Very, very glad to see you here, as well as those who are with us on Zoom. And it's time to say hello. So say hello to everybody on Zoom. There we go. And this side over here. Very good. Excellent. Glad you're here on Zoom, too. And also on Zoom, I know you did not get a copy of the prayers that we had for the Ukraine, so I will make sure that that goes out to everyone, a file goes out to everyone, so that you can have it too. Now this morning, what I want to do is share with you a bit about the fourth area of ministry that we're going to be working at in 2022, which is appeal. It's not a financial appeal, although, you know, we accept all donations at all times. It's the appeal of this fellowship and this building and this place and these things that we do, and the wide of an appeal as we possibly can have. And as I was thinking about that, I remembered meeting someone who had been in my congregation in Pennsylvania some years back now, and he had been a member for a long time. You know, a number of years. We baptized his children, did his wedding, and then for a long time after that, there he was. And I met him at somebody's wedding last September. Another member of that church invited me back to do their wedding, and this other friend was there. And he told me that at our church, the one thing, amongst others, that impressed me was that complete strangers gathered here and became friends. And they became friends around the faith. They embraced the faith together and became friends. And had it not been for this place and this fellowship, they may have never met. I was very impressed with that. Because I don't know if I had quite thought of it in that way. And I was thinking, that's what appeal is about. It's about that very thing. And so we look at that today, the appeal of our building and grounds. What we want here is the beauty of holiness, as the scriptures put it and the prayer book puts it. The beauty of holiness to permeate this place. We want to reflect that here in everything we do. We want to show the arms of Jesus open wide to absolutely everyone and anyone. That's appealing. That's what the scripture says. Jesus says, when I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to me. We want also to hear a call to the community gathered within, which is us. We want to hear a call of God within the walls of our fellowship, as well as to the community outside, to a new an astounding experience of the love of God. That's the result of an appeal that has the beauty of holiness in it, is that we come into an experience which is an astounding experience of the love of God, just like we read in the Gospels today, the very last sentence of the Gospel reading. And they were all astounded by what they had seen with Jesus. Not just some, not the ones who belong, not just the ones that Jesus named as the 12, not just the family of the boy that was healed, but all of them were astounded by that. That's what we want. That's what we look for in the appeal to us as we continue on in the fellowship, and the appeal to those on the outside. That's the target. That's the goal. So I think in the Transfiguration, while there's many, many things that we could look at, and we could stay here for a long time. I don't mean just today. I mean, we keep coming back to unpack what's in this, but we won't. I just want to bring out one thing today in the Transfiguration, and it has to do with appeal, the appeal that we're looking at this morning. And you're familiar with the flow of the Transfiguration, but just to review it just a little bit, here's Peter, James, and John. They go with Jesus up to the mountain, and there Moses and Elijah show up. They're all really sleepy, but when that happens, they're wide awake. They see this going on. Jesus is transfigured, transformed. You know, he's like dazzling white, light coming out of my, you know, I can't picture it, but there's all kinds of things going on. And these guys are very impressed. Just being three Jewish guys, and there's Moses and Elijah, that would be impressive enough. But there they are. You know, this is really going great. And Peter says, as you recall, hey, three booths right here, one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. And as he's talking, God interrupts him. I mean, the cloud comes. You know, wherever there's a cloud, that's a symbol of the presence of God. You remember, God led Israel by day in a pillar of cloud. Just that's what happens. That here comes a cloud, there's God. remember that song B.J. Thomas did, Mighty Clouds of Joy? That's kind of what that's about. Well, you got to be old enough to remember it. You know, maybe we all are. But nonetheless, we see Peter being interrupted by the Father, who says, this is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. In other words, we're going to stop the building program right here, and we're going to move on to something else, because I want you to be listening to Jesus. Okay, now, keep that exchange in mind, because something is going on there that we want to look at a little more closely. But nonetheless, they do that. In the morning, after spending the night on the mountain, they go down. There's a boy who is, demonized, severely demonized by an absolutely incredibly evil spirit, and Jesus takes care of it right away. And then everyone is astounded. Just the 12, everyone around. So all of this is going on, and Peter, James, and John have been continuously astounded, you know, for maybe like a full 24-hour period here. You know, they see Moses and Elijah, they see Jesus change, they hear the voice from heaven. They see this demonized boy delivered from that spirit. It'd be natural to want to have a memorial for that. And that's what these three buildings were about. Jesus, most likely, and they probably knew this, was a building contractor, not just a carpenter, but his dad was probably a contractor that could do all kinds of things for buildings. Could have used Joseph here a couple of times, but nonetheless, that's what they were. And Peter wanted to commemorate what happened with these buildings that he wanted to put up, and much like the Feast of Booths in ancient Israel and so forth, for those of you who know that. So he was interrupted by this voice and said, look to Jesus. And I think one of the reasons he was interrupted from this was because the buildings he had in mind would not have spoken of the love and greatness of God to other people. So when the voice from heaven comes and says, this is my Son whom I love, listen to him. Because when you listen to him, you will be able to do things that actually express the love and greatness of God to other people. But, you know, rolling along on your own plans, you might miss that. As good as those plans might be, you might miss that. Listen to him and you won't miss that. So I think Peter was astounded enough to put aside the plans. And then they follow Jesus down the mountain. And they see that great deliverance. What there was in these two parts of this instance, on top of the mountain and the deliverance of this boy, was an invitation to those who were within the circle with Jesus and those who were not yet in the circle with Jesus. There was an invitation to everyone around. The time on the mountain when Peter, James, and John is when Peter, James, and John are invited to follow Jesus. And that is an invitation to a new and deeper awareness of the love of God. And they'd already seen quite a bit, but they were the voice from heaven said, come deeper, come further, see more. receive more of the love of God. And then the time of deliverance with the boy was an invitation to everyone there to a new and deeper awareness of the love of God. I mean, who is not going to have that start hitting them when they see a young boy, an only child, restored to his father? I mean, just to watch that, you get the picture of what kind of God we're actually dealing with. A God who loves, a God who heals, a God who restores, a God who wants the love that flows from the heart of the Trinity out through the entire world. And even if you can't express it in those kinds of terms, you're beginning to feel that and experience that, and it's beginning to expand you and transform you into someone who wants more and more and more of Jesus as we go along. That's what we're looking for here. This building is the place where our gifts of worship and music and fellowship bring us continually into a new and deeper awareness of the love of God. That's one of the reasons that when the music team makes a mistake, I say, you know, what's actually going on right now is that God is keeping track of this in one of his books. Talks about it in that last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, where he keeps a record of the praises of his people. And he tells all the angels, you know, Terry Fulham used to say, tells all the angels who are singing these marvelous praise songs at the throne of God, says, hey, be quiet. I know they made a mistake there at St. Francis, but they're singing my praises. Make sure you get that in. It's because every time we gather like this, everything we sing, everything we pray, every exchange that we have brings us to a deeper awareness of the love of God. Even if it's difficult, even if there's mistakes, even if there's disagreements, it brings us further and further into that deeper awareness of the love of God. The building itself also reflects the hospitality of God that he has put into our hearts so that those in the surrounding community are invited into a new and deeper awareness of the love of God. So what you might say when we're thinking about the building, there's two levels of what we do to maintain it and keep it up and keep it looking great. One is make sure everything works. I mean, you got to do that. You know, the water runs, the toilets flush, you know, the heater works, you know, whatever it might be. We do that. And then the other level, which we want to keep up as well, is how would this building reflect and invite the deeper awareness of the love of God? That takes us into the mission to which God has called us, inviting people into the family of God. That brings us into the way that we walk with God day by day. That brings us into listening to people in the community that we don't know yet, seeing what makes the presence of God real to them, even if they never think in those terms. We who are in the presence of God and seek the presence of God regularly and come together to do it regularly, recognize it with when we're together, and we can recognize it when we see it in the community, we begin to pick up on that and do the things and produce the things that make the gospel real for those who are around us who are not part of us yet. That's what we do. That's the way we used to say we roll. That's what we want things to come to. That as we come to a deeper awareness of the love of God, people around us also, just by what they see among us and see here, that's the desire of our hearts. That's the thing that Jesus says when I am lifted up, I will draw everyone to myself. So there's ways to do that. And I hope you don't mind my saying this, because I know, you know, I'm ordained and have a seminary degree and all this. I just hope you don't mind my saying this. I have no idea. I don't have a plan. I don't even have a guess, except for one thing. We listen to Jesus. We listen to Jesus here when we're together and we're out amongst people in the community and our friends and others and so forth. We listen again for Jesus there. And that's where we start getting the clues of how the beauty of holiness can adorn this place to speak of the love of God to others. I mean, hey, we're a church, right? That's how we would do it. We want to show the open arms of Jesus to everyone. That's our goal. We're not another kind of business. That's our business. And that's how we want to do it. Well, I think you get the idea. I hope that God is stirring you. If that's something you really want to focus on yourself during 2022, I want you to talk to Chris today or email him or call him up or text him or whatever. Drive over to his house, flag him down when he's on 250, whatever it is, and tell him, Chris, I'm in. What do we do? And you know what Chris will say. Listen to Jesus. Let's listen to Jesus together and see what comes of it. And you might get something really quick. Okay. I'm sorry, Marion. That was a little soft, wasn't it? Yeah, what Chris would say is, let's listen to Jesus together. And then we go from there. All right. Thanks for doing that. Sometimes I start whispering and nobody hears what I say. Okay. All right. Very good. With that, let's stand. Lord Jesus, we know that you will build your church. We know that you will build your church in the manner that not only we are drawn into a greater awareness of your love, but many people around us are. We ask that you would form us, build us, equip us, and enable us to do that very thing for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.